Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Linda Sanchez of the great state of California coming up to talk about immigration reform. Sex Liberal Hal Sparks, Hump Days with Hal. We have a very, very sexy healthcare corner with Jackie Schechner in hour number two. It's a big, big show. All right. So I feel the need to balance it out with a little audio vomit. Which I, you know, of all the things people have said about this, the Zimmerman trial, this one, I did not see this coming, Jim. Mm. I could see Ted Nugent's vomitous pieces that he's written because he's all about the guns and the, you know.
Whatever.
However, I did not see this coming, even from Rush Limbaugh. Did you hear this yesterday, Jim? This is, here we go.
When Trayvon described Zimmerman to her, creepy-ass cracker, she began to fear that Zimmerman was gay.
What? Now?
Right. A rapist.
She didn't say that.
She then told Trayvon to run, run, run. She just said so.
Right.
After I say may be a rapist, that means she said to Trayvon, this guy could be gay. He could be a rapist.
Any of that.
He might want to rape you. You run, Trayvon, run, run. For every boy, every
run,
man
Forrest, run.
Who's not that kind of way, everybody who's straight, see a grown man following them, would you be creeped out? She's telling us the reason Trayvon Martin descended on Zimmerman sort of publicly because he was offended. He thought because of what she said to him that Zimmerman was gay.
Right.
Zimmerman got beat up because Trayvon was gay.
Huh?
That's what she's saying.
What?
No.
What else?
Wait, it gets
what
worse.
Is the
it
other what other interpretation is there?
Well, he had a gun.
So I thought, well, boy, the left is going to have a real problem.
Oh boy.
They're going to have to balance which group are they going to favor?
Wow.
I see.
Gays or blacks?
Okay.
Because here you
it's
had.
It's also simple.
Zimmerman was assumed to be gay.
Simple
this woman told Trayvon, run, dude, you got creepy-ass cracker rapist following you. Run, run, run. Anybody be creeped out by that. Trayvon's not a kind of guy that runs, but Trayvon was mad. So some creepy-ass cracker rapist coming after him? Okay, I'll give him what for.
Okay.
And so we have Trayvon Martin, who the media has made practically an angel. We now find from no less than Rachel Gentil started beating up on Zimmerman because he thought, based on what Gentil said, he might be gay. So Trayvon Martin, this angel, the recipient of all the love and support from the left-wing media, the Democrat Party, the left in general, actually is a gay basher.
Nice try. So where did you come across this expertise in one of your vacations to the Dominican Republic, perhaps? You seem to know an awful lot about it, Rush.
First of all, she didn't say anything like that.
No.
It's a CNN interview. Secondly, first of all,
but for the morons
anybody,
who listen to Rush,
any guy in prison,
it makes sense.
Rape is not about being gay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Wow. That was just magic, wasn't it?
But what a leap to say.
Boy.
Well, right. He's a gay basher.
If you can
who do
find
you like, the Negroes or the homos? Pick one.
If you can find ice small enough, try to ice down your groin, Rush.
God. Well, if you can find
wow.
it.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So that's when we finally went off the rails on the whole Zimmerman thing. Okay. All right. So I was on CNN last night, by the way, and I was saying, I don't know if I've made this point on the show, but give me a break. About this whole race issue. I mean, obviously, Justice Department, all of that. Would this have, if it was a white frat guy from the University of Miami, would this have gone down this way?
Nope.
Who in their right mind thinks so? I mean, this is just...
By effing punk, George Zimmerman meant black guy.
Right. Right. All right. And also, by the way, I was reading more about, you know, the Justice Department. This is, I mean... Does anyone think that the police department did a good job? As we were saying yesterday, the other thing about the Justice Department is they can actually do a real investigation.
Right.
They can go back on a lot of stuff they were talking about that, you know, obviously the police missed. And that may be the biggest thing that happened, Jim. We talked about this, is that a lot of the best evidence, witnesses, all that stuff was probably gone by that. It was 6 weeks later that they said, oh, really? I mean, how did he not get charged in the first place? How do you, guys standing there with a gun, a kid's dead, and you just go, oh, is that the story? Okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, you stand your ground.
Right.
Assumptions were made because Trayvon was black.
Right. Didn't interview anybody in the compound, you know, the community to say, oh, by the way, anybody missing a teenager? I mean, it was just, it's incredible. Didn't interview witnesses at the time. Didn't, you know, forensic evidence,
did they leave
all that stuff.
The body lying there overnight?
Yes. He was in the morgue for, what was it, 3 days or something like that? Yeah, one lawyer said they have a separate set of evidence they're looking at, the Justice Department. They might have additional witnesses that were never called upon by the state. Well, that would not surprise me since they didn't interview practically anybody till
the way state did a crappy job.
Right. They're saying investigators are not limited to existing evidence. They can pursue new evidence and conduct new interviews as they see fit.
What?
For instance,
evidence?
Yeah,
what?
Federal investigators could look more closely at Zimmerman's past for any evidence of racial bias, which, you know, we're told there are...
Probably should have done that before the trial.
Yeah, how about that? So they will, the Justice Department will sift through trial testimony, interviews, and evidence during what is likely to be a months-long investigation into whether George Zimmerman violated Trayvon Martin's civil rights. The key will be whether evidence exists that he was motivated by racial animosity. And again, you know, to anybody who's being honest, and again, whether they can prove that, I know, is a different thing, but it's just, give me a break.
Do know that Trayvon is a gay basher, my friends.
Okay. The Reverend Al Sharpton acknowledged there are hurdles, but he said there remains a fundamental question. Does Trayvon Martin and the Trayvon Martins of this country have the civil right to go home?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, we have.
We've called on the Department of Justice because Trayvon Martin had the civil right to go home, and that was interfered with and violated.
Thank you. A former federal prosecutor here in L.A. said many people simply cannot process how an unarmed teenager is killed and yet no one is held criminally accountable for their death. Mm-hmm. And somebody was saying the best-known example of this is Rodney King. Remember, the cops were acquitted here. And then federal prosecutors brought two of the four officers were convicted in federal court of violating King's civil rights. So, you know, we'll see. This is a different case, but, you know, some interesting questions anyway. But, yeah. And where was the piece? Oh, Charles
Blow.
Yes, Blow wrote a great, you know, just a great piece about all this. And I think I need to read some of that before I go to Ted Nugent's.
Oh, God.
Because I think I'm going to buy it. Splat.
Oh dear. You need a Heimlich?
I'm fine. Everybody, nobody help me. Nobody touch me. Okay. Charles Blow, this is in the New York Times, I believe, the whole system failed Trayvon Martin. And it is. It's a bigger picture. And I think that's what, you know, what goes to this Justice Department thing. The system began to fail Martin long before that night. And one of the things we keep talking about is the Stand Your Ground law. He brings it up that, you know, the system failed him when Florida's self-defense laws were written allowing an aggressor to claim self-defense in the middle of an altercation and to use deadly force in that defense with no culpability for his role in the events that led to that point. And that's, you know, and I think, what did I read, 22 states have this?
Mm-hmm.
How is this legally, I mean, this is just, this makes no sense no matter what race you are, no matter what partisan stripe you are, you can kill your only witness. And then what? The cops just have to, I mean, this could happen to any of us.
Stuff happens.
It's like, okay, well, here's the only story, because I'm the only one still alive. The system failed him, Charles writes, because of the disproportionate force that he and the neighborhood watchman could legally bring to the altercation. Zimmerman could legally carry a concealed firearm, while Martin, who was only 17, could not.
Well, he could carry a concealed sidewalk, huh?
He had just turned 17, too. Yeah. I mean, was barely out of 16, and... The system failed him when the neighborhood watchman grafted on stereotypes the moment he saw him, ascribing motive and behavior, intent, and criminal history to a boy who was just walking home. The system failed him when the bullet ripped through his chest and the man who shot him said he mounted him and stretched his arms out wide, preventing him from even clutching the spot that hurt. I mean, the system failed him when the slapdash Sanford police did a horrible job of collecting and preserving evidence. There's that. The system failed him when those officers apparently didn't even value his dead body enough to adequately canvass the complex to make sure no one was missing a teen.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine this in Brentwood out here in Beverly Hills. I mean, give me a break. The system failed him when he was labeled a John Doe and his lifeless body spent the night alone and unclaimed. The system failed him, and the man who police found standing over the body of a dead teenager, a man who admitted to shooting him and still had a weapon, was taken in for questioning and then allowed to walk out of the precinct without an arrest or even a charge to go home after taking a life and take to his bed. The system failed him when it took more than 40 days and an outpouring of national outrage to get an arrest. The system failed him when a strangely homogenous jury, who may have well have been Zimmerman's peers, but were certainly not peers of the teenager, who was in effect being tried in absentia, was seated. We'll talk about that later. The other jurors came out and said, that first juror?
Yeah.
She doesn't really represent necessarily what we think. What the hell happened on this jury? When three of the people were voting for, you know, a conviction, how did that suddenly end up?
Well, then they got clarification on the charges. That changed their mind.
Whatever the jury instructions were, we'll...
Let me clarify the charges for you. If you don't vote the way we want, stuff could happen.
Excellency.
Somebody might have to stand their ground. You know what I'm saying?
The system failed him when everyone in the courtroom raised racial bias in roundabout ways that almost never directly. For example, when the defense held up a picture of a shirtless Martin and told the jurors this was the person Zimmerman encountered the night he shot him. But in fact, it was not the Zimmerman... had seen Martin. It was not the way Zimmerman had seen Martin. Consciously or subconsciously, defense played an old racial trope, asking the all-female jury, mostly white, to fear the image of a glistening black buck as Zimmerman had. Anyway, Charles Blow, you know, it talks as many of our callers has as a black parent. Says, as a parent, particularly a parent of black teenage boys, I'm left with the question, now what do I tell my boys?
Move out of Florida.
Yeah, we used to say, yeah, but there's 22 states with these stupid laws. We used to say not to run in public because that might be seen as suspicious, like they'd stolen something. But according to Zimmerman, Martin drew his suspicion at least in part because he was walking too slowly. So what do I tell my boys now? What precise pace should a black man walk to avoid suspicion? And can they ever stop walking away or running away and simply stand their ground? Can they become righteously indignant without being fatally wounded? Martin was where he was supposed to be, in a gated community carrying a candy and a canned drink. The whole system failed, Martin. What prevents it from failing my children or yours? Charles Blow, great stuff.
What are the states that have the stand your ground laws so I can avoid going to them?
Oh, Stevie Wonder can tell you. He's saying he's going to boycott all of them.
Good.
Yes, we will talk about that as we continue. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Sue in Rockville, you're on. It's the birthday girl. Happy birthday day late, Sue in Rockville.
Hey, good morning. Thank you all. I wanted to call for three quick things. One is to thank you all, especially Jim. You always know how to sing happy birthday to me.
Right.
Thank you all.
Did you enjoy your birthday sex with Kevin in D.C.?
Well, that's what I wanted to say. You know, I love the show for so many reasons, and you know how loyal I am.
Right.
But the best thing about the show is I have a much better sex life on the show than I do in real life.
That's awesome. Me too.
I know. It's amazing. But I do have a message for everyone. You know, I've been listening since the heinous verdict came down the other night.
Yeah.
And I have my suspicions on whether the whole thing was fixed from the get-go, given the fact that his father was a judge. But with all the anger and the very legitimate rage and expressions of frustration that we all feel, we have to mobilize. We need to get into these state legislatures, and we got to get people registered no matter what, whatever, you know, tricks they try to disenfranchise people. Every single one of us who's upset needs to put some time in to just help get people registered so we can take back the state legislatures. I'm safe in Maryland. I'm going to go to Pennsylvania. I'll go to to Virginia, make sure the cooch can't win, steal a governorship. And I will do that, and I want everyone who's mad to do something.
No, I mean, that's the thing, Sue, is you're right. While we're not paying attention and, twittering about Sharknado, they're, like you say, state by state doing these egregious anti-choice laws. Alec has been behind these stand-your-ground, gun laws, and this is what happens. Now we're seeing the results, right?
And, you know, then the federal judges, you know, one judge after another strikes down the laws. I think the North Dakota or the South Dakota law was struck down last night. The judge had a great ruling and said this is just and it's going to get struck down, but they shouldn't be done in the first place. And we need to eliminate, in any way you want to understand that word, all of these Republicans who are just hateful yep. against progress. And the only way we do that is make sure no matter what barriers they throw up, we will get people registered, we will get them out there and get them to vote so that we can make progress in the new century.
Yep. All right, honey. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, guess what else the Zimmerman verdict allowed Rush Limbaugh to not just be homophobic in that ridiculous clip we played at the top of the show, but also to be even more racist than he already was.
Really?
Yeah, we bleeped, but he actually said the word, the N-word.
With an A on the end. Well, I think I can now. Isn't that the point? Because it's not racist. That's the point. I could be talking about a male. I could be a Chinese male. A guy at the laundromat. I could be talking about a man. That's what she said it means.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, he actually said it's okay now for he actually said the N-word.
Because he says because Rachel told him that it was okay.
Uh-huh.
That could be used for any male.
Mm. Okay. Just when I thought he could not get more despicable. Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael in New York City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey. It's your liberal mama. Mm-hmm. You know, I am so doggone glad that Eric Holder and Justice Department are investigating not just the Zimmerman trial, but what the hell is going on in Florida. You know, this Stand Your Ground stuff is racial crap. The way this trial was handled was racially motivated. And, I mean, I believe that the prosecution tossed this case. When I see the smirks on the prosecution, on the defense, on the cops, and even on the judge's face, that tells me the fix was in. And it seems like Trayvon Martin's rights, as well as his family rights, were violated over and over and over again. It's become a much bigger picture than what we have imagined. And yes, we need the Justice Department to have federal prosecution against all those that committed these federal crimes of obstruction
of justice. Well, you know, Michael, look at what that attorney said. Look at what that attorney said. You know, Trayvon is dead. We're sorry Trayvon's dead, but George Zimmerman is not responsible.
No, something that is a whole bunch of using Joe Biden's words, malarkey, because you have George Zimmerman, when he entered his freaking plea of not guilty by reason of self-defense, that admitted that he admitted to killing Trayvon. And I got to say also one more thing. Kudos to Stevie Wonder for taking the stand that he did and saying he's boycotting Florida and all these other states that have Stand Your Ground. He's not performing in any of those states. I told people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not very superstitious.
No.
That is taking a stand.
It is.
Okay. I had to quickly go through my catalog.
He's taking the higher ground.
Right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Linda Sanchez next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't do this anymore. I'm a good girl. I went to Catholic school.
Boy, howdy. Didn't stick. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, lots else going on in the world. In Washington, in fact, where they're debating immigration reform. Representative Linda Sanchez, our good friend of the great state of California, joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, home slice. Now, the president yesterday said an immigration bill without a path to citizenship is not who we are as Americans. And yet, that's what's happening in the House, right?
They're trying. Unfortunately, yes. That is what the Republican-controlled House is doing.
What are they? I don't get what they're trying to do. I guess what they call it is a step-by-step approach. Tell us what that means to them.
Well, we call it a piecemeal approach, which is not the way to do comprehensive, a big immigration reform and overhaul. So they've passed basically four different bills out of the Judiciary Committee, which has jurisdiction, and they've all been party line votes. That is 100% of Republicans voting for and 100% of Democrats voting against. And there are things like, you know, criminalizing all undocumented immigrants and, doing the E-Verify bill, which makes employers use employment verification to ensure that they're not hiring undocumented workers, which is a system that's, you know, rife with problems and, you know, needs an overhaul as well. So they're doing this piecemeal approach, and these bills are really, really bad bills. They don't talk about the, you know, positive steps towards fixing the overall broken immigration system. It's basically their pet projects and the way that they, you know, want to describe immigrants as being a threat and, you know, us having to guard against them rather than, you know, trying to put people who've lived in this country, some of them for decades, who were brought here as children, instead of trying to bring them in out of the shadows.
Well, you know, Representative, it just seems like there's no better evidence how far right this Republican Party has moved than George W. Bush just spoke out about the need for comprehensive immigration reform, which of course, you know, House Republicans are rejecting entirely, right? I mean, I knew this was going to happen. The border is never going to be secure enough for them, right, to say, okay, now we'll have comprehensive immigration reform, right?
Right. I mean, they have argued about the cost of the bill, and then when CBO came out and said that it's actually going to save this country money, you know, then they shifted to, you know, we got to spend, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars at the border, you know, essentially militarizing the border. And they're, by the way, only talking about the southern border. They're not talking about our northern border. And there's a reason for that. It's that, you know, there's this perception that we don't want those kinds of immigrants coming in. And the problem is that, you know, the country is ready for comprehensive immigration reform. Poll after poll after poll shows that a majority of Americans support. These Republicans are in seats where their base is overwhelmingly, you know, white conservative base, and they're simply playing to their base. They're not thinking about the broader interests of this country. They're not thinking about the broader interests in terms of the businesses in their districts that rely on these workers. They're not, you know, thinking about what's good for America. They're thinking about their own self-interest.
Right, and that is the problem. What you just said is they're really only afraid of getting primaried by a Tea Party or farther to the right of them, and this is why it just feels like we're never going to get anything done. I mean, I can only imagine your frustration that after the election, that seemed like, okay, that's the one thing they're going to do, if for no other reason than politically, because they took such a drubbing, right, in the Hispanic vote, and yet here we are, right?
Well, they seem to have very short memories. They've forgotten that already. But they are stuck in what I will say is the proverbial rock in a hard place. Their own political survival, that is, their own reelection, depends on them playing to a conservative base and trying to out-conservative any Tea Party challenger. They have no incentive to reach beyond their traditional base. But the numbers demographically show that the country as a whole is increasingly diverse, so they put at risk always losing national elections and statewide elections, you know, because they're putting their own reelections ahead of the ability of their party to reach out beyond their traditional base.
Aren't they voting yet again to repeal the Affordable Care Act?
So we've only had about 45 votes on that, but apparently it's not enough, and they, you know, need to burnish their, you know, conservative credentials to show the folks back home they really mean they want to repeal it.
Congresswoman, did you see the New York Times headline today? Healthcare plan costs for New Yorkers set to fall 50%. I mean,
yes.
In the states that are cooperating and enacting the exchanges and all that, I mean, right here in California, right?
It's going to help, you know, it's going to help all Americans. And, you know, they do not want to hand anything to the president to make it seem that he may have gotten anything done. And in fact, they're just being obstructionists. They're the sand in the gears that keeps this place from doing the country's basic business. Yeah. And it's bad for the country. And somebody described it like this. They're willing to sink the ship in order to drown the captain. The ship is our country. And they really aren't looking at what's in the best interest of the country. They're looking at their narrow self-interest and their ideological interest. And that's harming this country.
Well, as you wrote me on the day that Prop 8 was struck down in the Supreme Court, you said some days the Hill kicks your ass and some days you kick ass on the hills.
Yeah, that's a favorite thing of mine. You know, you have those victories and you learn to savor them because there are a lot of disappointments up here right now.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, speaking of disappointments, on a personal note before you go, how much are you going to miss Michelle Bachmann? A lot?
But, you know, it's interesting because her office is on my same hallway, so I see her all the time.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
but she does provide, you know, interesting discussion topics, you know, based on what based on what she's on TV saying on any given day.
How crazy do her eyes look in real life?
Oh, come
stop
on,
it,
Jim.
Stop it.
Jim.
Don't get her in trouble. All right. Representative Linda Sanchez of the great state of California. Thank you so much, Congresswoman.
Thank you, Stephanie. Take
all
care.
Right. Talk to you soon.
She's not allowed to answer
oh,
that.
Oh, great. Newsbusters is getting ready to type.
Yeah, great.
All right. So lots to get to. Eric Holder, the attorney general, yesterday talking about the Zimmerman verdict.
We must stand our ground to ensure that our laws reduce violence and take a hard look at laws that contribute to more violence than they prevent.
All right, mm-hmm. Let's take a quick one here. Laura in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I am from Florida. And I was sitting up watching the verdict come in, and when they passed the verdict, about 5 minutes later, I heard gunshots going off. It was like 4th of July or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. I retired here.
I'm guessing that's gun rights people celebrating the death of an unarmed teenager? Is that,
yeah, exactly.
And probably causing more when the bullets come back down again.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm from New Jersey, and I retired here. And I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sharon in Oakland. Hey, Sharon. Welcome.
Hello. I wanted to comment about the caller yesterday who talked about Trayvon being afraid, possibly being afraid that George Zimmerman was a pedophile following him. And you all thought that was so far-fetched. But no, it's not. We have a problem with sex trafficking. We have a problem with pedophiles, and we do, and that's not a far-fetched idea. And I'm a 57-year-old woman who grew up in Oakland, California. I have been profiled. Hoodie, no. My best friend, khakis and short sleeve plaid shirt.
Are you taking a bath right now, Sherry?
No, Poindexter glasses. Uh-huh. And he was profiled. This is Oakland, California. So this happens all over the United States. Has nothing to do with hoodies, have nothing to do with male, female, has everything to do with black. When we walk out our door, we're black, mm-hmm. and we are suspect. And it's day in and day out, and people need to recognize that fact. And the prosecutor, they didn't do their job.
Right. Well, I agree with all that, but Rush trying to say that he thought Zimmerman was gay, and so he's a Trayvon is a gay basher. I think Trayvon, first of all, has been smeared enough based on absolutely nothing.
He's dead and can't defend himself.
Just leave that where it is. Okay. Tracy in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Trace.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I think I share a common disgust with society on the verdict. And what pisses me off, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody, is that they're still trying to slander Trayvon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it just disgusts me. It's like the boy is dead. You guys won. Let it go. But it just seems like there's a lot of jury misconduct. You know, in fact, I feel like this lady was a plant. And, I mean, mm-hmm. it makes me so paranoid, but it's like, you know, is it so far-fetched? Because they were determined to win at all costs.
Yeah.
And
how did she get on the jury? My friend Mike Tomosky wrote, Tomosky, juror B37, holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, right?
Right, and the thing is that she, you know, she couldn't really explain how she came up with the summation that Georgie was innocent. And by saying, well, there was a rash of vandalism. Nobody said anything about vandalism.
By the way, did it make anyone else's, arouse anyone else's suspicion that she called him Georgie?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, I work for law enforcement, and like I said, I have a degree in criminal justice and forensics. So I have been analyzing all of this all along, and the same, you know, inconsistencies that they had talked about were already picked up. And it's like, wait a minute, he's calling him a suspect? It's like, suspected of what? He didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. By the way, speaking of smearing Trayvon after he's gone, Ted Nugent.
Oh, God. Ugh.
We'll talk about his little article when we get back. Oh, we called him Skittles Hoodie Boy. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Enraged black man child.
We can call Ted Nugent a few names.
Yes, listen, I already did in my thought bubble, none of which I can say on air. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, Jim, we need a light comedic sorbet to cleanse our palate between the vomitous Rush Limbaugh, homophobic, and, saying the N-word clips that we played, and Ted Nugent's article that he wrote about the Zimmerman verdict. Someone, because we've been bitching about this for years, I'm going to take credit for this.
Okay.
Because we've been bitching for years about the song Isn't It Ironic? There's nothing actually ironic in there.
Yes.
A lot of things that are unfortunate.
Black flying a Chardonnay.
Right.
That's kind of gross.
Ironic.
Right.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah, just not really ironic.
Yeah.
It has made you want to smack her with a thesaurus for years. And someone
or
has finally...
it makes you want to smack her with 10,000 spoons.
Right. Mm. Someone has finally done something about it.
Rachel Hurwitz has done this on YouTube.
Okay.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day from a severe paper cut from his lottery ticket.
That's
our black fly in your Chardonnay that was specifically purchased to repel black flies. It's the death row pardon that causes your demise, because you leave the jail and get hit by a bus. And that really is ironic. We fixed it for you, Alanis.
Brilliant.
It's like a rain on your wedding day, a day and place you chose, because it's known not to rain. It's a free ride, but you get mugged on the good advice we're forcing you to take. And who would have thought it figured?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Funny, funny, funny. Ah, Lord. All right, and now Ted Nugent.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not since he gave me the finger on live television have I felt so... Okay, I'll have to watch what I say.
Would it be ironic if he shot himself with his crossbow?
Stop.
No.
One day after musician Ted Nugent penned a column railing against dope-smoking, racist, gangster wannabe Trayvon Martin, he fired off some more harsh words on WorldNet Daily, calling the 17-year-old an enraged black man-child who was a Skittles hoodie boy. Following George Zimmerman's acquittal, Nugent has repeatedly spoken out about the damage he believes this case has done to the defendant's family.
Oh, God.
At the hands of the race-baiting industry, i.e. Reverend Al Sharpton, President Obama, and Attorney General Eric Holder. Okay. Should I read some choice parts from his greatest...
Only in the name of journalism.
It's flat. George Zimmerman does what anyone who wishes... He takes just Zimmerman's word for everything and then, like, makes it even... basically embellishes even on that.
Yeah.
Yes, to make Trayvon seem like just a maniac of some sort. Some notable passages. George Zimmerman does what anyone who wishes to live would do, and he reaches for his concealed handgun, firing a single shot to neutralize the deadly force being wreaked upon him.
Right.
By the sidewalk
he was carrying in his pocket.
This represents the purest form of self-defense there is. It's exactly why people who believe in good over evil carry a gun to protect themselves from the well-documented violence that plagues our country in order to save our lives from a life-threatening attack, period.
Life-threatening attack?
With Skittles, right, and a sidewalk. Here's the lesson from all this, America. Teach your children to not attack people for no good reason whatsoever.
That would be George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Conduct yourself in a responsible, civil manner, and everything will be just fine.
Yeah.
Try to kill someone, and that someone just may be exercising his or her Second Amendment rights.
Try it.
And you could get shot. It's called self-defense, and it's the oldest, strongest, most righteous instinct and God-given right known to man.
God-given right to kill somebody.
God.
Right, an unarmed teenager with Skittles. Oh, yeah. Listen to this this version of events. God. After expressing racism and hostility on the phone to a friend in response to being followed, the suspect now changes course and turns towards George and immediately initiates a hostile verbal confrontation that quickly escalates to a violent physical assault. Within seconds, the suspect is overwhelmed. George has gained advantage on top, pinning George to the ground, further escalates the assault to deadly force by smashing George's face, breaking his nose, and violently slamming his skull into the concrete with all his youthful athleticism.
Were you there?
No, he wasn't there. He's just pulling all this out of his bony ass.
Based on all the evidence available to them, the professional law enforcement officers did not hold George Zimmerman on charges later that night. They saw for what it was, cut and dried self-defense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, based solely on what George Zimmerman said. And so it was for a few weeks until the race baiting industry saw an opportunity to further the racist careers of Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the Black Panthers. I don't know why he just threw them in there. I don't know what they have to do with this.
Nothing.
Okay. President Obama, he just threw them in there too, President Obama and Eric Holder, who then swept down on the Florida community, refusing to admit that the 17-year-old dope-smoking racist gangsta wannabe Trayvon Martin was at all responsible for his bad decisions and standard modus operandi of always taking the violent route. With an obvious racist chip on his shoulder, referencing the Neighborhood Watch guy as a creepy-ass cracker to his fellow racist female friend who admitted under oath this is how non-blacks are referred to normally in their circles, Trayvon had no reason not to attack because it was the standard thug thing to do. See Chicago any day of the week. The only racism that night was perpetrated by Trayvon Martin, and everyone knows it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You are an idiot.
Oh, my God.
I wish you hadn't read that.
I'm really sorry.
I think people should really have to hear that garbage.
Yeah, sorry. I just have to tell you what's out there. It's my job.
It's journalism.
But you're right. Now I need some more light comedic sorbet of some sort. Cornelius in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Cornelius.
Hello. I'm going to move very quickly. Zimmerman, there was no fight. No fight occurred. I've been trying to get through a few talk shows for a few months now. There's some code words here in this thing. No fight ever happened. When Zimmerman said he was following on the phone, he said he's reaching for his waist. That's a code for police officers that I can draw my weapon. He had his weapon out when he approached Trayvon. He also stated he's running. Trayvon was trying to get away. As a matter of fact, Rachel admitted on the phone she heard Trayvon ask, why are you following me? How do you know someone's following you?
Yeah.
Because you've obviously sped up to try and get away. Zimmerman knocks the cell phone out of his hand, grabs Trayvon, puts the gun to him. Zimmerman told him you're going to die tonight. He had to state, Zimmerman had to state someone said that. He had to state that.
Yeah.
Trayvon yells. If you pay attention to the yell, that's the scream of horror. That's not the scream of someone beating up another person.
Yeah.
That is the scream of horror.
Well, I mean, Cornelius, that's the fact right there. His injuries are not consistent with his story. They just are not.
The night it was questioned, we have clear police footage that shows no bruises. And you know, when the juror talked about the reenactment video, that should have never been admitted as evidence because it's reenactment. So I don't even know why she even mentioned that. That's not a sworn statement under oath. As a matter of fact, that's a great makeup job in that reenactment video. I do videos and film. That is a great makeup job in that reenactment video.
I don't know
that you can put that out there as fact.
One thing I think does seem logical is that the kickback from his gun at that close range could have caused just that one thing on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks next hour for Hump Days with Hal. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nan says I need some good news, some cheering up in the wake of all this venomous hatred spewing from
the Ted Nugents of the world.
Yes, the Rush Limbaugh's from the Zimmerman verdict. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's about children being the future.
I believe the children are the future.
Steph, my 10-year-old grandson saw you on TV for the first time yesterday and asked me how old you were. When I told him, he asked if you had plastic surgery.
Lots of plastic surgery.
Dumbfounded. I asked why he would ask that. He said it's because you look so much younger. Isn't that precious?
You wouldn't believe how much plastic surgery she's had.
Yes, my little tot. There was something broken in this face. I took it to my shop, to the doctor's shop, and I fixed it and brought it back here.
You had to get the holes in your face in between your eyebrows filled
in. Mom had plucked with my first
permanent
tweezing.
Spackle.
My first tweezing went horribly awry, as we learned yesterday. All right.
It's shit.
All right, here we go.
Baby's first tweezing.
Exactly. Good morning, Nurse Jackie.
I think I'm more bothered by the fact that there's a 10-year-old who knows about plastic surgery.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, by the way.
You know what? When I was 10, I saw Phyllis Diller on TV all the time. I knew about plastic surgery.
Yeah, but you're gay.
Jackie, you can confirm my story yesterday that all children are basically tiny little terrorists.
Yes.
We went to a 4th of July party, remember?
Oh, yes, with the pinwheels.
Right, we had 4th of July pinwheels. And remember that little toddler? She just, like, this blood-curdling screech at the top of her lungs. And, like,
I love that we all handed them over.
Right, immediately.
It was like we had all been mugged.
She just, like, exactly. She just, like, reached for them, and we all immediately, without a fight, just, like, yeah, we did not stand our ground at all. We just were
that
like, here!
And the drooling over the cupcakes.
Right.
It was like a panting dog.
Right, right, right. Yikes. All right, let's talk about the New York Times headline. Oh, my goodness. Health plan costs for New Yorkers set to fall 50%.
Yeah.
Individuals buying health insurance on their own will see their premiums tumble next year in New York as changes under the federal health care law take effect. Huh.
Uh-huh.
Chin scratch. Thoughtful chin scratch. Hmm.
That disaster of the Affordable Care Act, huh?
Right, right.
Death battles.
State insurance. What same thing as that happened out here in California, right? State insurance regulators say they have approved rates for 2014 that are at least 50% lower on average than those currently available in New York. So beginning in October, individuals in New York City, for instance, who now pay $1,000 a month or more for coverage will be able to shop for health insurance for as little as $308 monthly.
With
federal subsidies, the cost will be even lower.
Yes. I am rarely wrong, but when I am, I'll admit it.
Right.
I was really concerned, and I'm still concerned, that without a public option in the mix, there wouldn't be as much competition as we would like.
Right.
But it looks like the plans are getting into the mix, and there are a lot more that are willing to compete for the increase in business that they'll have as more and more people buy health insurance. And that competition alone is enough to drive down prices. So I hope that this stays, and that we turns out that, I mean, as much as I would love to have a public option still, that the competition alone is sufficient, at least in the short term.
An expert in New York said, we're going from Bergdorf's to Filene's here, which...
Filene's went bankrupt, so that's not a good analogy.
Right. Filene's
used to be a good store.
But I did love myself some Filene's.
Oh, uh-huh. Who didn't? She said that she added the extraordinary decline in New York's insurance rates for individual consumers demonstrates the profound promise of the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, administration officials quick to add New York to the list of states that appear to be successfully carrying out the law and setting up exchanges. And once again, they said, we're seeing in New York what we've seen in other states like California and Oregon, which we've talked about here, that competition and transparency in the marketplace are leading to affordable and new choices for families. And, you know, it once again also makes you feel bad for red states, right,
yeah.
Where the governors are doing everything they can to obstruct and not implement Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things here. One is that I worked in New York, and I worked actually with health insurance in New York trying to help freelancers. It's now, I guess, now the Freelancers Union, but it was working today at the time, mm-hmm. and we were trying to help people who were in freelance positions in New York get affordable health insurance by pooling us together. And so I know how difficult the market is. It's why I got into this in the first place, because it was so difficult for me in New York to get covered as a freelancer. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal just in terms of covering a large market and a large group of people who otherwise wouldn't have access to affordable insurance, and especially in a state like New York where the prices can just be so incredibly high from cost of living to, you know, health insurance in general. The other thing I think it's important to note is the Obama administration is going to start, for lack of a better word, shaming some of the governors who are not allowing for the Medicaid expansion. And what they're doing is, as the exchanges open up and people go to buy health insurance on the exchanges, there's going to be a little note that basically says if you are below 133% of the poverty level, that you could have had health insurance, but because of your governor or because of your legislature, you can't. And
oh, yay. Republican governor slut-shaming. I love
it. Yeah, it's going to remind people that this is not the federal government's fault, that it's the state government's decision.
Good for them.
And maybe perhaps they should think about that as they go to the polls. Because
talking to you, Coke suckers.
Yeah. I mean, right? I know it's really hard to rally the uninsured, and it's hard to rally people who are just struggling to make it day to day, and that's a real problem. I mean, imagine these people aren't jumping online on a regular basis. But the idea is, if you go to buy health insurance and the option for the exchange is not there for you because you don't make enough money, it's going to make it very clear whose fault that is.
And yet, Jackie, there, as you reported in your news duties, they're voting to repeal affordable care again. Now, the last time Boehner said it's because he wanted to give freshmen a chance to, you know, vote on this. Why? What is the reason now? Do we have a reason for the, what time is this, 39th?
Oh, why are they voting for it now?
Yeah.
They're attempting to point out the hypocrisy, allegedly, between delaying the employer responsibility provision and the individual mandate.
Right.
But it's such a false argument, because, first of all, you can't get rid of the individual mandate because it would dismantle everything, and the insurance companies aren't going to allow it. I mean, that's the big point here, right? We know that the health insurance companies and a large number of other sort of big companies who make money off of our health insurance market send a lot of money to Republicans, right? And they are not going to let the Republican lawmakers dismantle the individual mandate because they can't cover everybody without the mandate.
Yeah.
It's just not affordable for them, or at least they claim. I mean, I would argue differently, but they say they can't cover everybody, especially people with so-called pre-existing conditions, unless everybody's in the pool. So they're not going to allow them to get rid of the individual mandate. So not only will it not get to the Senate, and it certainly wouldn't get to the president, and the president would veto it if, God forbid, it did, but the insurance companies would never allow it. It's just not something that they want repealed.
Hmm. So it's yet another useless exercise, is what your point is?
Total waste of time.
Oh, okay.
Total waste of time. I mean, we really should somehow calculate all the money and hours that are being wasted on legislation that's never going to go anywhere and stuff that doesn't have the support of anybody but the stubborn House Republicans who just want to pass the same stuff over and over and over again. I mean, it's
almost
just such a waste of time.
It's almost like caving into toddlers' demands. It just will go on and on and
we
on.
We have to stop giving them our pinwheels.
There you go. All right, to Jackie Schechner in the current news center. Thanks, honey.
My pleasure.
All right.
Yay.
All right. Let's go to Dana in Chicago on the Zimmerman verdict. Hello, Dana.
Hi.
Hi.
I am probably about the 11 millionth call you've gotten about this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So I apologize for the redundancy. I am a white professional person from Chicago, and I am just livid over this, the outcome of this trial. I'm alternating between seething and a profound sense of sadness. I don't know, and I it seems like I cannot let this go. I'm having such a problem doing that, and I would just like to know who was involved in choosing this jury.
Yeah.
From the jury pool. I got something from the Daily Show that showed the Zimmerman jury with all Paula Deans there.
Yes, we put that up on our they probably got it from our website. But anyway,
oh.
I mean, that's one of my many questions, too, is who allowed that? I mean, who thinks that's fair?
It's not.
Let's go to.
Aren't you supposed to have 12 people on a jury?
Not only for.
Capital cases in Florida, you only need six.
Annette in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. I just want to address two issues. One is I echo what your previous caller just said about the Zimmerman case. I was totally shocked. It was just unbelievable that they could not come with a manslaughter guilty. The second is regarding the president, and I'd like to give an analogy if I could.
Okay.
I remember John McCain, he came out very quickly and criticized Egypt, calling it a military coup. Well, my question is to Mr. McCain, what does he think that the Congress and the Senate is doing to this president? It is a coup. They are trying to make this president fail. And it's disgusting and it's disgraceful for this to be happening in the United States.
And by the way,
that's all I have to give you.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, by the way, I mean, a lot of experts have talked about the fact that this is really a people's movement that was assisted by the military in Egypt. This is the opposite here. I mean, this is a democratically elected president twice in landslides that is absolutely being thwarted in, you know, everything he wants to do. I mean, it's, anyway, it's coup-ish. 17, it's coup-ish. 17 minutes. Yeah,
but the military
is.
Isn't involved.
Oh, please.
It's coo-oid.
All right.
It's coo-tastic.
But
coo-tacular.
That doesn't stop Republicans from saying that. Who was it that said that? Remember last week they said, oh, I wish we could have a military coup here and overthrow.
Oh, yeah, I remember someone said that last
Whatever.
Week.
Whatever. Yeah. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
All right, 22 minutes after the hour. George has some thoughts for us. Gee whiz, you guys are so committed to your N-word loving bull.
Wow.
You don't have the common honesty to realistically and honestly address the subject as presented to you. You're so committed to your left-wing extremism, you can't even be honest to yourselves. Shameful.
Mm. Yes, and highly Hitler view as well.
Did I tell you? Not long after being called a race traitor, I would be called an N-word lover. Yep.
Oh. If you're on your show, you're called Central Team. Just put your step on the FCC. Race traitor,
set my
talks on the show all day. When will we learn that you're simply a harmless jay? Race traitor,
maybe,
will not be directed to you. Race traitor,
maybe,
it's amazing what they'll do. Race traitor,
maybe,
who races back to you. Race
traitor,
maybe, if we get to you, you're
through. Thank you. You know, it seems to me that, again, I think we obviously a lot of people have been talking about the O.J. trial for various reasons. I think most reasonable people think he did it. He was a cold-blooded murderer. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with race.
Right.
You know, he happened to be black. In this case, I think a lot of reasonable people that watch this think an unarmed, innocent teenager was shot to death.
Yep.
And by the way, George, here's some fun facts for you. Why? I should have been on this prosecution, I think. Look at this. Maybe they should have brought this up. The Neighborhood Watch Manual?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read it? Remember, community members only serve as the extra eyes and ears of law enforcement.
Huh.
They should report their observations of suspicious activities to law enforcement.
Observe and report.
However, citizens should never try to take action on those observations. Trained law enforcement should be the only ones to ever take action based on the observations of suspicious activities.
Oh, so he didn't really read the handbook.
Maybe he didn't get to page 22. Yeah. Okay. All right. Attorney General Eric Holder. Yes.
By allowing and perhaps encouraging violent situations to escalate in public, such laws undermine public safety.
Mike in Toledo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
I called to say I think it's time that we get proactive instead of crying about it after it happens. The only way to stop this is to vote with your dollar. It's the only vote that really counts in this country. We need a wallet riot. We need to withdraw funds. We need to take tourism and conventions away from states who do things like Florida, Texas, and you can do it easy. We got athletic figures who were, the people from the Miami Heat were on saying how terrible this is. Mm-hmm. What if they said, I'm not coming back to Florida unless they change?
And by the way, Mike,
everybody here can stand
it's
up.
Interesting, this last, you know, letter I got. I don't think this is racial. I was surprised to hear that one of the right-wing hosts on the station over there in the afternoon on the station next door to us feels exactly the same way I do about this. You know, I mean, this guy should have been convicted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's looking at the facts of a case is what I think it is. Speaking with your dollars, Stevie Wonder boycotts Florida in the aftermath of the Zimmerman verdict and during a concert Sunday night in Quebec City. He told his audience he will be boycotting all states that have Stand Your Ground laws on the books. I decided today that until the Stand Your Ground law is abolished in Florida, I will never perform there again. As a matter of fact, wherever I find that law exists, I will not perform in that state or in that part of the world. But according to HuffPost, that's 22 states
that
have a stand-your-ground law similar to the one in Florida. And somebody points out, though Stand Your Ground was not directly tested in the Zimmerman trial, the law was, quote-unquote, explicitly mentioned in the jury instructions. So, you know, that. Remember we said what the hell happened in these jury instructions that made
a jury split half and half
on convictions go, oh, well, yeah, I guess not. I mean, really? Really? I have a superstition something went wrong. Oh, Stevie! I danced to this very badly. At Oprah's, remember?
You're continuing to dance to it very badly, if you can see it on current TV.
Stephanie Miller.
Writing on the wall.
Yeah, now you're doing the Cabbage Patch.
It was the Oprah fundraiser for Obama back in 2008. Remember I got to go to it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I thought the black people were looking at some of the whites with a little pity.
Oh.
This is exactly how I was dancing.
What are you doing? Are you having a seizure?
Next, you're going to do the sprinkler.
I'm going to start twerking. Hang on.
No, don't twerk. Don't twerk.
All right. Come on. I challenge you, black or white, not to lose your when you hear superstition. Come on.
That's a good song.
It is a great song. Let's go to Roger in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Steph. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Here's the thing that bugs me. Dr. DeMaio, the expert forensic witness for the defense, has been touring all the talk shows, and neither the prosecutor nor any of the talk show hosts have asked him the most important question, and that is, if a 158-year-old slender kid is wearing an extra-large sweatshirt and an extra-large hoodie, and in the hoodie's pouch he has an iced tea that measures about 3 inches across the bottom, how is that not 2 to 4 inches away from his body? Couldn't it be consistent with him being shot standing up? This doctor did no test.
Well, you know, Roger, I asked this question as well because they had witnesses that said it was Zimmerman on top. And I have no idea why the prosecution just sort of, you know, went with this one. Because you're right, it's one witness, and they can be wrong, right? Expert. Excuse me, I'm just saying experts can be wrong sometimes.
And if he's wearing that largest sweatshirt, that alone could have the sweatshirt 2 to 4 inches away from the body.
Right.
Standing up.
Yep, I hear you. Let's go to Ronnie in Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Stephanie?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not getting any audio.
That's all right.
All right, here it is. I guess I'm directing this toward the guys. I don't know. I know myself, and if I was in a situation where my body and my mind was screaming for help, my life is in danger, and if I shot this guy, especially was the first and only guy I ever shot, I don't know how I would stop screaming at that point. I would either scream curses at the guy for trying to kill me, or I would scream, oh, my God, I shot somebody. How do
or
you
help, help,
screaming?
Help.
Yes, something. Yeah. You know, I mean, how do you just stop screaming at the point of the gunshot?
That's what I'm saying. It's like all of this stuff. It's just common sense. It's not, you know, anyway. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't mean to ignore your strange monologue, but I can't take my eyes off her.
Stephanie Miller.
This enchanting vision. The moment I saw her, I felt as if I'd met her before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. I'm having an effect on people this morning, that and my twerking.
Mm-hmm.
David in North Carolina said, I had the pleasure of seeing you attempt to twerk this morning, and I don't know what happened, but I'm not afraid of spiders anymore.
Not afraid of spiders?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Okay.
Let's see, another one. Dear Steph, what kind of weird gesticulation was that? Signed, Elaine Benes. Okay, that's funny. It's Elaine from Seinfeld.
Because whatever that was, was not twerking.
I don't really know what twerking is. I need to watch an instructional video.
You really do.
Before I can do it wrong. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't kick while twerking.
No,
I'm talking about Elaine Benes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, Sandy in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and make an observation.
after sitting back and looking at everything that's been happening, I'm just absolutely amazed at how many people on both sides of the issue are complete experts on what happened that night. It's really, truly amazing.
I don't claim to be an expert. I think that's the difference is, you know, clearly a lot of people take exactly George Zimmerman's word for what happened. I think, you know, by virtue of the fact that only one person is still alive, you know, I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm saying what seems logical to me. Does it seem logical to you that someone is screaming, the one that is unarmed? Or the one that
I don't know what's logical
and that
or
it
not.
Stops immediately
it stops
after
right
a
gunshot.
It stops immediately after a gunshot. What does that say to you? Wouldn't that say to you it's the person that got shot?
I'm just saying on both sides.
Okay.
Everybody's
all
right. Saying
both
this
sides
is what
do.
Happened.
Oh,
this is
all
what
I am just
both
a small
sides.
Business owner that has stumbled upon your show.
Oh, I try
it
to look at both
like
sides.
Both sides are being unfair. Here.
I'm Judy Collins. I've looked at clouds on both sides.
Right,
now.
Both sides.
Or actually, I'm joining
win and lose and up and down and still somehow. I am a small business owner that has just stumbled upon your show.
Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell are decidedly not the same.
No, but Joni Mitchell wrote it.
Okay, gotcha.
Dreams and schemes and... Okay. I know that whole song.
And they paved paradise and put up
a
parking lot.
I used to sing
lot.
That into my hairbrush. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
That and at 17.
Right. I learned the truth.
Oh, boy.
Love was made for beauty queens and not, you know, unibrow.
Armenian dudes with
unibrow. Armenian dudes with an afro.
And bloody stumps where your unibrow used to be.
And doll's hair for a hairline.
Troll hair.
Yeah.
Okay. Maryland Republican Andy Harris said on a radio show yesterday, anyone angry about the Zimmerman verdict needs to get over it and
get
move
over
on.
It.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
I am not... one of your fans!
Okay, Eric Holder.
Separate and apart from the case that has drawn the nation's attention, it's time to question laws that senselessly expand the concept of self-defense and sow dangerous conflict in our neighborhoods.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Eric Holder not getting over it, investigating perhaps, seeing if there is grounds to bring civil rights charges. Eric Holder again.
Now, I want to assure you of two things. I am concerned about this case. I can promise that the Department of Justice will consider all available information before determining what action to take.
And I think there are problems like this in other countries where different states and provinces have completely different sets of laws. I think generally they have national...
No, Canada is similar to us and Australia is similar to us.
Okay.
I thought Reverend Al Sharpton made a good point yesterday. It had nothing to do with pie.
We've called on the Department of Justice because Trayvon Martin had the civil right to go home. And that was interfered with and violated.
By the way, juror B-37.
Bingo.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with Battleship and you were going to go with Bingo. Okay, here she is.
I think if there was another person, Spanish, white,
Spanish?
Asian, if they came in the same situation that where Trayvon was, I think George would have reacted the exact same way.
Spanish.
Hmm?
That people from Spain? People who speak Spanish?
I like Tomosky. He just writes, juror B-37, holy smokes. Did you see that interview? He writes, did you see that interview on CNN? Seems very clear she makes no effort to be informed about the world at all, and that she carries around a set of racial assumptions, let us say, and is utterly and totally unconscious about them. She thinks Zimmerman's, heart was in the right place, and then she thinks it would have gone down the same way, no matter what color anyone was, including, as she put it, Spanish. Spanish?
Spanish? Spanish isn't a color.
Hmm? No.
It's a language.
What's more incredible than her proud ignorance is that the prosecution didn't strike her in the first place. Yeah, I agree. There's something weird there. That she doesn't trust the media, which no one does, but she doesn't even read a thing, not one thing, that you'll never get all the information. A former federal prosecutor jumped back when she said you'll never get all the information. She said, that's exactly what a defense attorney loves to hear. That's reasonable doubt right there.
What?
She
watches too much Nancy Grace.
Yeah. It sounded like a Fox News thing. Oh, we never really get the whole story. You know,
it's all just guesswork. There's no real narrative.
Tomosky writes, she's not apparently not completely hopeless. Someone talks some sense to her. She seems to have had enough sense to cancel the grubby book deal she made over Trayvon Martin's grave just the day before. But, there's something just weird about that whole thing.
Yeah.
That she said, first of all, she's like, well, he did go a little too far. A little too far? A little bit.
Shooting an unarmed kid in the heart?
Yeah, a little bit.
Which was completely against the rules in the handbook for neighborhood watch guys.
Yeah. But I guess Paul Blart Mall Cop didn't read that. Didn't read the handbook.
Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dana.
Hi, good morning, fellow race traders.
Thank you.
What up, the shizzle. Okay, just a couple points before my main point. If it's raining, I'd probably have my hoodie up, too.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know if anybody's mentioned that. And then, you know, the right and Fox, they don't want us, you know, they want us to drop it and get over it. And Tucker Carlson is calling Reverend Al and Jesse Jackson pimps and hustlers.
Mm.
I mean, you know, come on. And this isn't racist, right?
Yeah, no way.
Pimps and hustlers. So I was thinking, you know, is there a way we can revamp the whole jury picking system? You don't get paid very much. You know, lot of people get out of it. You know, they toured O.J.'s home, and he had all this, like, you know, African-American stuff up that replaced all the white stuff he had up.
Yeah.
You know, how do they get away with that?
Yeah. Well,
and I just think we need to kind of toss out the jury selection thing because don't they know they're going to be able to write a book and make money?
Yeah. Suspicious.
Well, I know in South Africa, as we found out because of the Pistorius case, they have professional jurors who presumably are retired lawyers and judges who aren't as easily swayed by overzealous lawyers.
Paul in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
great
go
show,
ahead.
You guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to say that isn't it ironic that Ted Nugent called Trayvon Martin a man-child? Ted Nugent is the ultimate man-child. He actually peed and crapped his own pants to get out of going to Vietnam.
Yes.
That's his words.
Yeah, exactly. He only likes to shoot defenseless animals. He doesn't like to actually, you know.
With a crossbow to fight back so they die slower.
Right. Malik in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Malik.
Hey, Steph. I want to thank you, first of all, for being a champion for the people who can't be champions for themselves. But as a young black man, we're profiled every day. It's nothing new. I didn't expect the jury to come back with a not guilty verdict anyway.
You know, so Malik, did you happen to read, I was talking about Charles Blow, his piece in the New York Times, but, you know, he said, Zimmerman at one point said he was suspicious because he was walking too slowly. And he said, you know, you tell your black sons don't run because people might think you stole something. And he said, what's the precise speed a black man can walk that he's not suspicious exactly, right?
Yeah, I agree. The funny thing about it, we are the real illegal immigrants, if you think about it. Constantly, every day, for example, when I'm driving down the street, I know not to wear a hoodie until I get where I'm going. I know that if I'm wearing a hat, you take the hat off. I know that if I'm pulled over by a cop, that I have to say, look, I'm reaching to the glove compartment. What I do now is I get out the car with all my information and I lock my door so you can't search my car.
Right.
If I go into a store and I have a bag, as soon as I get in the store, I give the bag to the clerk because you don't want people, you know, thinking that you're stealing. And this is something that we as black men are on a parallel universe in comparison to everybody else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're instantly assumed guilty until proven innocent. And that's sad because a lot of us have to tell our sons, we have to tell our nephews and other black men
That's something that, you know, I think if we're going to have an honest conversation, that white people have to be able to admit. I mean,
it's
good liberal, I have black friends, as you know. But, you know, I know through them. I know through, you know, a guy friend of mine that said, yes, he's been pulled over in Beverly Hills, I don't know how many times, because he's driving a nice car.
What are you doing to that shopping bag?
You know,
shopping?
I remember having dinner once, and my friend actually, like, he touched the cooler of where they keep the beer,
uh-huh.
And the restaurant owner threw him out. I mean, can I prove it was racism? No. But I think if I'd done that, would he have thrown me out? Probably not. I mean, it just, like, I think you're right. There's just and you can't understand it unless you've been through it, right?
I agree, but the funny thing about it is everybody thinks that we're always claiming to be victims. But if you think about it, we deal with this every day as black men. And to us, it's just like waking up every day and putting on your underwear. We expect it. It's nothing new to us. It's not like, you know, we're mad about it because we've been surviving. And if you think about it, only maybe 1 or 2% of black men are criminals. That means the other 98% are being profiled as criminals because of what you know, the 1 or 2% does, and that's a sad thing. And I don't know anybody else as a human being that's held to that standard. And it's obvious to me that, you know, it's sad. I mean, I love honorary black women and black men. Like, I call everybody on your show honorary black men and women because you guys do something that a lot of us can't do. You have a bully pulpit to make sure people out there know what's really going on in this country, and I love you guys for that. Oh. And as a matter of fact, I got tears in my eyes now because a lot of people don't understand that it takes a lot for you guys to do that, being called race traitors and all this other stuff. That's harsh. And people don't understand.
Oh, you missed the harshest part of it. I'm not just a race traitor. I'm a race traitor that I believe he hoped would get raped by a black man, I think is what his further thought was on that. But, listen,
doesn't he know if you get raped by a black man, that's a pleasurable thing?
All right, now you both have to go in the penalty box. But before you said that, I just want to say word on the lamest, whitest way possible. All right. Wow. I need to go take a nap. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on
He was
kidding. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Great to meet you. Hope you get my day. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my day. Oh, yeah. Get down with it.
Oh, yeah. Jim Ward on air guitar, everybody. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Democrat Luis Gutierrez sent a letter to the House Judiciary, by the way, requesting they hold hearings on both the Zimmerman case and the issue of gun violence in general. He said, when any child is gunned down and no one goes to jail, it is incumbent on lawmakers at the highest level of government to investigate whether justice has been done or whether the underlying law is just and whether federal legislation could help avoid another tragic death like the death of Trayvon Martin. I mean, yeah, I think that's the thing now, is preventing more Trayvon Martins, obviously.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, gun laws or all the, you know, stuff that went into that. Oh, George Zimmerman's brother, Robert. Nice to hear from him again.
Oh, God.
Is he continuing his Fox tour?
Yeah, he is.
He claims that he and his family feared the administration might be tapping their phones.
Shut up.
Welcome to our world.
He thinks he is so important
that
the Obama administration would personally go out and tap his phone.
Right. We do have concerns and always have of having our phones tapped, having our phones listened to by the administration or whomever.
Georgie thinks a little highly of himself, doesn't he?
Yes. He also thinks the Justice Department is being pressured by civil rights groups to open a federal investigation.
They're called the Justice Department.
Because
they're seeking justice
has not been done here.
Yeah.
Okay. Deidre in
conspiracy.
Deidre in
the president's black.
Annapolis. Hello, Deidre.
Hi.
Hello.
You know, before that other guy went off on a weird tangent, he was saying the right thing.
Right.
To you.
It was all going so well.
Until that happened.
I know. That's how you never accept a compliment. So.
That's why I'm right not to accept compliments, because it always ends up going
weirdly. Well, I'm an
weirdly.
Irish Catholic, so I'm taught that from the birth.
Yes.
But in any case, I just wanted to say, old little Georgie Porgy might wish that he had served his maybe a manslaughter charge, because all he has to do is look at high profile murderers like OJ and Casey Anthony. Lives do not turn out well for them because people know what they are.
Yeah.
If he had served his time, then his mom wouldn't have to be on TV whining that he doesn't have any money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the problem, is I think, you know, people just that's why people are angry. And again, you know, it's like, look, I'm a white person that thinks OJ got away with murder. You know, like, in this case, this happens to be an innocent black, unarmed black kid that got killed. And you know, and that, as someone said, you know, not guilty is not the same as innocent. Judy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Judy.
Good morning, Stephanie. I just wanted to say that, you know,
when Emmett Till was murdered, lo, those many years ago, I was a young housewife mother. And, I mean, the correlation between the two of these is really rather striking. Two young kids minding their own business, not hurting anybody, and he probably said something to the woman in the store, Emmett Till. Nobody will ever know because he was murdered like Trayvon.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to know whatever happened between him and George Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. And I personally think George Zimmerman is a mother's worst nightmare.
And you know what? Another case, Judy, that somebody made an analogy to, it's interesting, but, you know, it's all this intersection of, you know, what kind of justice you can get or you can buy in this country. As I said yesterday, you know, it wasn't black or white with O.J., it was green. You know, he was able to buy an awful lot of reasonable doubt. But somebody was making the analogy to the Ennis Cosby case. I don't know if you remember that. He had pulled over to change a tire.
Bill Cosby's son.
Right, Bill Cosby's son. He had pulled over to, he had pulled over to change a tire and was robbed and shot in the head at gunpoint. But somebody was talking about Bill Cosby was in court every day and that, you know, it may have helped because he's beloved.
Mm-hmm.
It may have helped in terms of that guy is convicted and in prison now, whereas, you know, someone was saying about Trayvon Martin's parents because, you know, maybe they felt in the jurors' eyes they're nobody or it wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Have helped anyway, but you know there shouldn't be different levels of justice
nope.
here. There really shouldn't. Let's go to Carl in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, it's Carl from deep in the heart of Redneckville, Tennessee.
Yikes. Deep undercover.
It's harder to find a cop that doesn't say the N-word down here.
Yikes.
I've got a few choice words for little Teddy boy. Apparently, his memory is more of a Nietzsche and a Bist than his soul is, because, as I recall, he's talking about this pot smoking and all this craziness, and the Amboy Dukes, he did Journey to the Center of the Mind, and I recall, as a younger version of me, seeing him in the 70s, where the pot smoke was so thick it made London fog look thin. Then you've got the fact that my guitar students can outplay him. And the worst part about this man, did I call him a man? Shoot me now. He ain't a man. But I tell you one thing, women, isn't he married?
I
think he's married. Ooh. How could you marry a man who writes a song called Wango Tango? Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang. Cat Scratch Fever.
Now I don't want to hear any more Ted Nugent lyrics.
No.
All right. I'm sorry, I had a visual of being naked under Ted Nugent.
I'm sure he's thought that of you, too. Because he's that kind of person.
Rhonda in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because I saw during a police investigation when they was questioning George Zimmerman, while he was telling his story, he said that Trayvon Martin started yelling help. And then when the person that was questioning him asked who said help, and it's like something clicked in his head and he changed it all of a sudden, he said, I started yelling help. He said, I did. And that's just very suspicious to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a
lot of
things.
Nobody noticed that during the trial?
Yeah. Mm. A lot of things very suspicious. Rosanna.
I yelled help.
Help, you have Skittles.
Of course he didn't.
Rosanna in Palm Beach real quick. Hello, Rosanna.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm calling because I'm going to let you know a piece of information that the original Stand Your Ground law was based on a black man defending himself. Hmm. He was he was getting out of his car, and he was approached by a white guy who was intimidating him. Now, this guy had no intention of firing his firearm. It was just, you know, he had it for protection. And he verbally, you know, did a lot of warnings, you know, I will do this. And he was, like, scared, and he could not retreat. And
there's the main thing, retreat. All right, Sex Liberal Hal Sparks next for Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Having some sort of medical condition.
I've only seen a twerking video once. That's the best I could do. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour.
I guess if you're constipated, that would help.
Hey, look, it's Hump Days with her.
Hump Days.
Steffi.
Oh, heavy breathing. Yeah. I hear why. Could it be?
Yeah.
That is not twerking. No.
Yes.
It's a spasm.
Yes.
Yes, that is a lower body spasm.
I got to go to my chiropractor now. All
yeah.
right. I only had a few seconds to study twerking.
Look, yeah, and it is a skill you develop over time. There's no magic to twerking, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, trial and error.
You just introduced us to the gay man's response. It's it is a gay man twerking to classical music.
That's
in
right.
their kitchens.
Uh-huh.
Men at twerk.
Yes.
Check it out.
Can't go wrong.
Spectacular. Right. We just
if
watched
you're
it.
That way, it's a good way to start your day.
Speaking of which, Jim, Sue in Rockville says the UK has approved marriage equality after the Queen gave her approval. Does Jim have any comments on that? God. Oh. Yep, Britain's gay marriage bill cleared through the House of Lords, which could not sound gayer, first of all.
House of Lords and ladies. Mostly ladies.
The irony that we've, you know, in the States we have to get the approval of several queens, but we don't know that they hide the fact that they're queens.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. I am not gay. I have never been gay.
I am a queen. I am the queen.
Right.
Talking to you, Lindsay. Okay.
We are, she should say.
Hmm? Right.
The royal
exactly.
we.
What does well-known Southern Belle Lindsay Graham think about that?
Oh, my stars.
We do not know. Hello.
I almost twerked off the fainting couch.
I... Betcha. Lindsey
I think
Graham
twerks at home
has
with John McCain.
Once or twice.
With John McCain at home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Twerkers need to be disciplined.
Right.
They're
good
barbarians.
Morning, good morning, Hal Sparks. Hi.
Hi, race traitor. Here's something.
That sounds like a cartoon series that Hal could voice.
Yeah, totally.
Race traitor.
Right. Starring, yeah, as a character that looks very much like Eminem and irritates a lot of
right.
Midwestern white people.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I actually think I have a positive, both, I think, maybe lesson and a movement that could come from this, which would be Trayvon's vote. Trayvon Martin died at 17. He's never able to vote. And
yeah.
in a lot of the unfortunate, the right-wing's minds, another lost black voter is they're all keen with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus. Mm-hmm. So I would say to everybody who didn't vote in the last election or might not have voted
vote
or
for Trayvon. Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. they're in a state where they didn't, you know, it's hard. Make that extra effort. And maybe you weren't going to vote next time. Maybe you didn't vote last time. Vote for him.
Yep.
He never got a chance to.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, that's a very good
and
point.
And that's how those laws get on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good point. By the way, I don't know if you had a chance to hear. This has been kind of the lovely ripple effects of this whole thing. Rush Limbaugh gets to say the N-word now, apparently.
Yes.
We bleeped it, but he said it.
Right.
Here he is.
Yeah.
With an A on the end. Well, I think I can now. Isn't that the point? Because it's not racist. That's the point. I could be talking about a male. I could be a Chinese male, a guy at the laundromat. I could be talking about
Chinese,
a man. That's
because,
what she said it me.
Chinese guy at the laundromat.
That's amazing to me.
Because of the N-word at the beginning, they missed the racism.
Totally
the
missed
beginning.
The point.
Right.
It's like, that he goes, guy at the laundromat. I could, what, excuse me?
What? I'm sorry, what now?
You couldn't leave the point you were making about how there is no racism because it's all even keel, like, you know, because Chinese people work at laundromat. You couldn't leave the conversation without dropping that in there.
By the way, he
was
even able to get some homophobia in this. Did you hear this yesterday?
Yes.
This was a little bugga, 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 bugga.
Yeah.
When Trayvon described Zimmerman to her,
to
creepy
Rachel.
Ass cracker, mm-hmm. she began to fear that Zimmerman was gay.
She didn't say that.
No.
No.
A rapist.
Not at all. Oh.
No.
She then told Trayvon to run, run, run. She just said so. Mm. After I say may be a rapist, that means she said to Trayvon, this guy could be gay. He could be a rapist. Mm-hmm. He might want to rape you. You run, Trayvon, run, run, for every boy, every man who's not that kind of way. Mm. Everybody who's straight.
Mm-hmm.
See, a grown man following them, would you be creeped out? She's telling us the reason Trayvon Martin
mm-hmm.
descended on Zimmerman, started pummeling because he was offended. He thought, because of what she said to him, Zimmerman was gay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. That's mm-hmm.
Zimmerman got beat yeah. up because Trayvon was gay. Mm-hmm. That's what she's saying here.
What?
Huh? Yeah. Huh? She's saying no that sense what else? To run
what is the other what other interpretation is there?
That you're a moron?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, boy, the left is going to have a real problem
mm-hmm.
here.
No.
With this
they're going to have to balance which group are they going to favor?
Wow.
Gays or blacks? Because here you had Zimmerman was assumed to be gay. This woman told Trayvon, run! Dude, you got creepy-ass cracker rapist following you. Run, run, run. Mm. Anybody be creep out by that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to call.
Trayvon's not a kind of guy that runs. But Trayvon was mad. So some creepy-ass cracker rapist coming after him? Okay, I'll give him what for.
Uh-huh. I don't know how to feel about this.
And so we have Trayvon Martin, who the media has made practically an angel. We now find, from no less than Rachel Gentile, started beating up on Zimmerman because he thought, based on what Gentile said, he might be gay.
Right.
So, Trayvon Martin, this angel, the recipient of all the love and support from the left-wing media, the Democrat Party, the left in general, actually is a gay basher.
Okay. Right. And nice try.
Scene.
First of all, as a he's right, as a liberal, I'm very confused about who to support. I'm going to have to call my black gay friend.
Right.
And ask him which side he falls on. Secondly, the right has a real problem with consensual sex. Have you noticed this?
Right.
That they seem to have a real hard time understanding consent and desire. That if two people want to be together, who are of the same sex, that's gay. If one person wants to be with another person, regardless of that other person's sexuality, or that's rape. There's no consensual. There's no actual gay in that part. He's being followed in that. If you want to follow his crazy architecture,
anybody in prison whether rape is gay or whether
argument
or whether rape is about sex.
Right.
Of course, it never occurred to Limbaugh that you could be black and gay.
Right.
It's like,
no.
They're two
never.
Separate, complete separate things.
How could I
get my mind around that?
That's because they've been compartmentalizing groups forever, trying to divide and conquer. That's the whole purpose.
Pit them against each other.
But
exactly.
You know, again, if you'll notice this is where they go from gay marriage to man on dog business because they don't understand that two consenting adults. Activating a behavior is different.
Yeah.
And let's follow.
The dog can't consent. That's the difference.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And in this situation, he's like, he thought he was a rapist and gay, and so he wants to go back and bash him. That's not gay. That's pedophilia, and that's rape. That has nothing to do with being gay at all, actually. Well, but it's also a fantasy he made up.
Well,
in his
he thinks
head.
He's
complete
sowing
nonsense.
Dissent among the liberals.
Sure.
Because he's a moron.
I'm just following him down his fantasy road.
Creepy guy with a gun following him. That wouldn't be scary.
I recommend that Limbaugh's not a moron, but his listeners is, and he knows that.
Right. And he knows.
We even caught him getting lost in his own story because Trayvon was gay. Wait a minute.
What?
Was Trayvon gay or a gay basher? Wait a minute. What?
Wait a minute. Which is it?
This is
Angel in Florida. You're on with Hal. Hey, Angel.
Or is it on
Hal? Yes. Couple of comments. I would like to point out the fact that if you put aside what the prosecutor and the defense team did, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, or Chinese. The juror had audio and visual of what George Zimmerman said. Everybody can recognize a liar, and they still found him not guilty. But when it came to Rachel Gentile, because she lied about something that didn't affect the case, the fact that she didn't go to Trayvon's funeral and that her age, her whole entire statement, she's a liar. But George Zimmerman is telling the truth. I don't understand how the jury, not the jury, but the people who are for George Zimmerman, they do not like to start from the beginning. They like to go right to, Trayvon did this. The people who are not racial, who and understand that this is just right and wrong. They start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why is this grown man stalking this young child?
Well, I want to point something out. Right. That's because they're jumping in the middle of it, filling in the blanks with their own personal bigotry.
Bias,
I want to point out something. I'm a military wife. My husband is about to retire. I've been in Florida for 4 years. I want to say the things that I noticed about this state. I don't understand why that juror, when she did her interview, she said George Zimmerman had the right to stand your ground. It wasn't about standing your ground. It was self-defense. I want to point that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also want to point out that a lot of people try to figure out, well, what was Trayvon thinking? Trayvon was thinking exactly what Rachel Gentile said. That man might be trying to rape you. Florida is known for Amber Alerts, sex trade, just so many horrible acts that Trayvon was in fear because this man in his SUV with tinted windows is patrolling the streets following him. 2 weeks ago, these witnesses in Florida watched two men jump out the truck and force this woman in the back of the truck. No one intervened. No one followed this woman. They just called 911. Trayvon was really scared that George Zimmerman was a sexual predator.
Well, I don't think we know what Trayvon thought. He was scared.
Right.
Who would
right.
be scared? You don't know why someone's following.
Well, the problem with the stand your ground law is it was, and it absolutely was a factor in these jurors, even though it was not used
as
part of
the
defense.
Jury instructions.
Yeah, exactly. They used it as part of their deliberation. They used it as their establishment of whether it was law or not, and they really did focus on whether or not this was self-defense at that one moment. Now, at the exclusion of, and this one juror said, at the exclusion of every moment that had led up to that, all that mattered was at that moment did he fear for his life. Well, at what point does a rapist in the future, all they have to do is convince a jury somewhere that the dead victim was engaged
right.
in consensual sex when they
right.
fought back?
Because, again, only one person.
Exactly.
Only one person survived. So
right. It's
only my story.
Yeah.
Right?
This is Stand Your Ground is a snuff the witness law.
Yay. Thank you.
That's what it is.
All right. 18
very good.
Thank you. I've been saying that, but when I say it, it's only because he said it, you sexist pig. 18 minutes.
That's because he's prettier.
Yeah, but I also,
he's prettier than everybody.
I have a way with words. Some people have a way with words. Other people know have way.
And then other people twerk.
1977.
Do it again.
No.
Don't make me. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
As it turns out, the revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It's like a little friend. I'm down on my knees.
Say what?
I want to take you.
Okay.
There.
Yeah. Your prayer.
But not really.
Sometimes your prayers are answered, sometimes they're not. Yeah. 23 minutes after the hour. Stop asking. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Well, that's a sad little cartoon. The talk, white Americans, it's a white father talking to his son. It's birds and bees and a black father, and it's a gun in the U.S. justice system is the talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw Charles Blow's piece in the, New York Times,
yeah,
I think.
That's it.
But and also Eugene Robinson in the
Washington Post.
Very good stuff on all of this. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Let's go to Sherry in California. You're on with Hal. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to make one little comment, Stephanie, because I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
But Ted Nugent column.
Yes.
You should have read that. That was very, very hurtful. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh, he's in the same boat, but not as bad as Ted Nugent. People are still trying to get over this. And like I said before, I love your show, and that's all I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you don't ever actually need to. Ted is actually one of those people you can ignore. And I think a lot of musicians realize that right around the time Coming of Age came out by Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
That's an inside joke for metalheads out there. But, but in reality, like, it's funny to me that the Shut Up and Sing crowd never bugs Ted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll hear it all the time. Like, I call Julie
or
Mason.
Or Charlie Daniels.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
Charlie Daniels has a store in Nashville, Tennessee, okay?
Oh, God.
You can go into the Charlie Daniels store.
What might you buy there?
Nothing. But I went in.
A fiddle?
Well, that's the thing. The front of it is just kind of a, you know, country-ish kind of a store. But there's a shelf in the back.
Kind of like
with,
Twitty City?
There's a shelf in the back with black people salt shakers.
Right.
That Aunt Jemima
really?
Kind of style stuff. All that stuff is on a shelf, like, in the back corner.
In the racist section?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Wow.
But then, you know what the upside is?
Racist knickknacks.
That used to be in the window, I suppose. So times are changing.
Right, sure.
I've heard it called Negrobilia.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Prince in Birmingham, Alabama.
I need to say that to fiddle music.
yes, exactly.
Hey, Prince, go ahead.
Listen, do you really believe that that tower would have gotten out of that car if he didn't have a gun?
No.
Pulled out. Listen, Steph, that's next door to Imperial Polk County. You know, they knew better than to have no blacks on that jury. So I blame it on the prosecution because this was the weakest case they could have ever did.
Yeah, the prosecution
and
was
all kind of doors right. opened up for them.
It was somewhat lacking
we
in
talked
my opinion,
about how
the prosecution.
He, yeah, and how he was a wannabe cop. That was part of the thing they put in, okay?
Yeah.
What do they, how does a cop approach a car? How does a cop approach a suspect ever? They put their, they unclip the top of their gun and they keep their hand on it the entire time.
Right.
Right.
Are you telling me that George Zimmerman in his cop fantasy didn't walk up and point at John, where are you going? What are you doing? Step right there with his hand on his gun the entire time.
And that's why you don't do that if you're not a cop. Because
right.
if you see a person, unarmed person sees someone that's not a cop, right, that may or may not be having or indicating a gun and says, what are you doing here? I mean, what are you going to do?
Look, anybody, I don't know, and the right wing is amazing to me because they're somehow okay with the idea that armed vigilante citizens or some arm of the government, which would be Neighborhood Watch, can stop you on your way home and shoot you, and you have no recourse, period, in the abstract. It's the same thing with, like, the vaginal ultrasound. They'll scream that the Obamacare wants to put an RFID chip in your body and then never realize that wouldn't any government putting something in your body be a slippery slope to that? But they don't seem to care when it's a woman in her body.
Chris,
it'll never happen to them. That kid was black. They're not.
Yeah. Chris writes, the concept that recoil busted his nose is spot on. An all too convenient fight fact is the kind of story a liar would use to justify his stupid actions. By the way, just Google broken nose and recoil for thousands of examples.
Right.
I've seen a film of that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could YouTube that. And
There's a picture online that I saw that was really impressive, where somebody they took the outline of the bumps on the back of his head and showed that from that picture and lined it up with the size gun that he has that he basically hit himself when it was over to give himself some cover wounds. I mean, that's as plausible as anything else. The problem is with all this, I mean, we can speculate about all the details and stuff, but the prosecution's problem was that they let the defense's idea of what happened and Zimmerman's version of things be the standing version, which none of that is...
As I said, A, injury's not consistent with his story.
Right.
B, not one speck of blood or DNA on Trayvon.
Right.
Of George Zimmerman.
Right.
How does
Quincy would have had a field
if he is beaten, if he is beating him almost to death in
it's not possible.
Zimmerman's telling of it.
No DNA from Zimmerman.
None. And that's because I think he was shot from a couple of feet away and he was screaming the entire time and wondering why this man came out of the darkness was questioning him as he was walking back from the store
and stopped screaming after the gunshot.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right.
But coincidence.
Point being is that the entire story that seemed to be floated and debated by both sides was Zimmerman's account of things.
Yeah, exactly.
When that's not
exactly,
then you just have to paint your own story after the fact. As long as that person's dead, and you've got enough time to figure out what you're doing.
Yep. Right back. Hump Days with Hal, Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have no reason to hug her other than my love of having boobs pressed against me.
If I hugged you, I would angle it so that you got no boobs.
And I would anticipate your angling and I would get there.
Twerk it, girl. Twerk it.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Can you twerk to AC/DC?
Probably.
You can twerk to anything. We've seen it online.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Well, this is right up your alley. It's about Apple and a guy from Tennessee. How about this?
Look at that.
Apple sued for porn addiction. Man says MacBook cost him his marriage and kids. A 36-year-old man from Tennessee got so addicted to porn videos, his wife took his children and left him.
How is that Apple's fault?
He calls Apple a silent poisoner. Well, he claims that his addiction started when he accidentally replaced the ACE in Facebook with UCK.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly, lots of porn, I guess.
Sure. That's his own damn fault.
Accidentally.
Sprang up by some...
As you do.
Yeah, that doesn't happen because you click on a side link on some page that you've ended up on
right.
or anything.
That, yeah.
He even took some time in his complaint to remember the good old days of America. Can I have some nostalgia music?
Oh, yeah.
In the 1950s, before things like the internet and the ACLU created homosexuality.
What right.
now?
Oh,
okay.
Excuse me?
What now?
Who brought home...
Sex trafficking and prostitution.
Can we see that machine? How did they do... The ACLU Gay Master 2000.
Right. Was he accidentally watching gay porn on his MacBook?
I do not know.
Mm.
Wow.
It made me download the Grindr app and made me end
Apple
up...
Apple made me twerk.
Yeah.
Damn you, Apple!
Apple apparently responsible for turning people away from the unquenchable reality that God is real. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. He accidentally downloaded Scruff.
Whoops. Hey, when that happens, wah, 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 wah. Okay. Hey, looky there. The Senate has reached a deal to avert the nuclear option. Phew. Harry Reid yesterday.
I think it's going to be something that is good for the Senate. It is a compromise. And I think we get what we want, and they get what they want. Not a bad deal.
Yeah, they resolved a protracted fight over a handful of President Obama's executive branch nominees, averting the threat to use the nuclear option. So, let's see. This already was this yesterday morning. The Senate voted to proceed with Richard Cordray, Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection.
Yep.
Senator John McCain.
I think all of us got to the edge and looked in the abyss, Republican and Democrat, certainly the overwhelming majority, and we stepped back from it.
Yeah, and Harry Reid gave him a lot of credit. Reid heaped praise on John McCain.
And
for
McConnell.
Leading the compromise right. with his persuasiveness and persistence. Well, you know what he did?
What?
He told the onion belt story until they just said, okay! Mitch McLipless.
Crisis has been averted. We still will be dealing with controversial nominees in the way that controversial nominees inevitably produce a great debate.
Yeah, except none of the nominees have been controversial so far. Just to say no.
Controversial.
He had nothing to do with it. You know, there's all this kind of reporting on the backdoor, you know, wrangling of this business. And McConnell in particular came in kind of early to try and stop Reid again with the same kind of BS he passed off for a couple of years now. And this time Reid wasn't hearing it. And McCain was already talking to him about moving this along. And McConnell kind of, I guess in the middle of the talks, came back twice, and they were like, thanks, Mitch. We got this.
We got
hang out.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like
back to your terrarium.
Dangling outside the door, you know. And then at the end of it, that you know, he came back. He wanted to join the talks with McCain and, you know, when Reid and McCain went to the floor and kind of, you know, did their glad handing, glad we had didn't have to pull the nuclear option, glad we moved past this. And McConnell wanted to be in and standing nearby, basically to act like he was part of this talk, and he absolutely was not, and they basically gave him the elbow. And now...
See, in the photo op, he just, like, slowly stuck his turtle head in.
Right.
He just, like, photobombed, like the squirrel.
I couldn't be controversial, I mean, non-reptilian.
He photobombed him, like
squirrel. Photobombed him,
yes.
Right.
Okay. Terry in Maryland, you're on with Hal. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello, is this Stephanie?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm nervous, so please bear with me. How are you guys doing
today? I'll
be
gentle. Go ahead.
I hope you guys, I love your show.
Thank you.
And I respect all the people sitting there, especially the gray-haired gentleman. I can't think of his
name. Oh, Jim Ward.
Yeah.
The distinguished gray-haired gentleman, yes.
Yeah, you should let him do more impressions. He's fantastic.
He is. He's terrific.
I'm constantly stopping him.
Take him off the chain. Cut him loose.
Turn him loose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Get some earbuds, Jim, so you can jump around. Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna be me.
Oh, now I see what you did, Terry? Okay. Now we can have nice things. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Listen, when this trial started, I said to a very good friend of mine, and he asked a question to me, I said, this guy's going to walk.
That's what I said.
Okay. Yep. I said he's going to walk. You know, I spent a year.
Well, no
and
wonder
a half.
You like Jim, the official cynic of the Stephanie Miller show.
No, it's just if you have to think beyond convention. Okay, you have to understand what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And we're in a dark place in this country. Okay, very dark place in this country. First of all, let me qualify myself or identify myself. I am a black male. I am 59 years old. I'll be 60 in July, God willing. Mm-hmm. Okay. I spent a year and a half in the South in the military from 77 to 79, to April of 79.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was stationed at Moody Air Force Base in Valdosta, Georgia. And my first experience when I got on the plane to go south, I was a little nervous, and I thought, well, you know, things are going to be different here. I'm not going to go into a long, drawn-out story, but I met a man on the plane as I was flying out of Atlanta going into Valdosta, a white male. And at the time, I didn't travel in uniform. I was traveling in a suit, okay? I would change into the uniform when I got to the base before I reported. Okay, you were not required because, first of all, I was still on vacation. I was on vacation time. So I look like a regular civilian. Gentleman approached me on the plane. I'm reading a magazine. I'm minding my business. And he started the conversation. He said, I see you're traveling down south. I said, yes, I am. And he says, are you from the south? I said, obviously not. You know, you could tell from my accent. He knew this. And then he said, well, I hope you enjoy yourself while you're here. He said, I just want to tell you, you know, a lot of folks down here don't require what you require. I became real curious at this as to where this conversation was going. He says, yeah, I got a boy that works for me, and he's perfectly happy doing what he's doing. He says, you seem to be very ambitious. He says, so when you come down here, I just want you to feel comfortable, but just understand that you don't need to change anything down here. And, you know, just...
What, he thought you were like a civil rights worker coming down there to make sure people could go to school?
He was very nice. He was very nice, and, you know.
No, he wasn't. I understand what you're trying to say, but he wasn't very nice.
Nice to use the word
he was using public voice for, you know, he was Paula Deening the moment. He was, I mean, there was this, there's this version you can try to, well, I'm just trying to give you a little piece of advice.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Don't go causing no trouble down here.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to stir things up.
Right. Brian in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Stephanie. Actually, this is Christopher, Brian's partner.
Oh!
We did a little switcheroo in here.
Oh, I was going to ask what's going on with Brian, but all right, go ahead.
Hey, listen, he wanted to make a point, which I'm going to do badly at paraphrasing, but it has to do with, I guess, misalignment of societal priorities. Paula Deen said one word, maybe more than once, but lost everything, right?
Yeah.
Taken to task. George Zimmerman killed someone.
Yeah.
And lost and nothing.
Lost
happened.
Nothing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Very good point. Christopher would be so proud. Brian would be.
He's pretty fabulous. It's his birthday.
Aw.
So.
Happy birthday.
Listen, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, boys. Okay.
Aw.
That's cute. They're both adorbs.
I will say that the reason why she's in, you know, arguably more hot water over
she
a longer
sponsors.
Time. Huh?
Yeah. She had sponsors.
She's
parboiled, technically.
There was no... in some people's minds, there will always be the option, and this is where the reasonable doubt works in a genuine sense in our legal system and in a lot of people's thoughts, that something went down that wasn't right and we don't know all the details. They will always give that option to the situation because confronting what happened to Trayvon is too horrible for them, so they don't want to even believe that it's possible. Whereas Paula Deen was completely optional behavior. She, as a human being, did not have to behave the way she did. She did not have to believe what she believed. She did not have to treat people the way she treated people. She chose to, and she was never at the barrel of a gun when she did it.
Right.
So that's why she lost more in our culture, anyways. Right. Not that it's right, but that's why.
Aww. How far?
While I'm explaining
Edward Snowden
things.
Edward Snowden has apparently applied for temporary asylum in Russia.
After they just told him to take a hike? I don't understand.
It might allow him to leave the airport.
Oh, I see. Because he's got to... Basically, they got to drive him out of there.
Yeah, he got tired of eating the vending machine borscht.
Yeah, he can't because of...
The vending machine borscht is no good.
No.
Right, because of his...
Jim eats it every morning, he can tell you.
It's true. Oh, ooh, that's good borscht.
In reality, he can't fly over a lot of our allies' airspace, and so it's hard for him to get a flight out of there. So if he gets temporary asylum, they can drive him to a border and get him out some other way. And I think that's what they're shooting for.
Did
short
you
of
see,
sneaking him out, because that's not going to happen.
Getting a skosh tired of Glenn Greenwald. You saw this. He said Snowden has a lot more damaging information that could be a nightmare for the United States. He said he has a large number of documents he's given to some people. He said the U.S. government should be on their knees every day praying that nothing happens to Snowden, because if something happens, all information will be revealed, and that would be their worst nightmare.
But, all right, tell me this isn't Glenn Greenwald doing George Bush's Bring It On. How do you not paint a target on Snowden's back now? Because anybody who wants to bring down the United States or do damage to the United States, all they have to do is kill Snowden, and Glenn Greenwald will immediately believe that the Pentavalent, you know, that runs the government, including Colonel Sanders, he'll blame the U.S. no matter what happens to Snowden. So now if you're against the United States, just kill Snowden and you can get away with it. That's what basically Glenn Greenwald just said. To the world.
Our friend Hot Bree said this weekend, we were all together, she said, Edward Snowden is a zit on the ass of whistleblowers.
Well, yeah.
And I have to say, I agree.
Well, here's the thing. Glenn Greenwald just admitted that some of the material that Edward Snowden has is not indicative of a crime, or he would have released it earlier, but is simply just details, probably, you know, he even mentioned the idea that there might even be a knock list in there, that the non-official covert operatives, that he has a list of where they are and the companies that they fake, or all that information, because that's all NSA available. He might have that, according to Greenwald, and how do you not kill that guy and take it now? And why is Glenn Greenwald want him dead so badly?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The whole
Glenn
thing.
Greenwald, why are you trying to kill Edward Snowden?
Said by Hal Sparks.
Said by Hal Sparks.
We're all going to ask
in a question form.
We're all going to get called neocons on Twitter later, like we did last week.
I said nothing about Snowden's worth or value. I'm just calling out Glenn Greenwald for putting a target on his back. Yeah. What an idiot.
46 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on. You got to admit this is cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hey, looky here, Demon Seat Liz Cheney.
Oh, God, her.
It's going to challenge Michael Enzi of Wyoming. Liz Cheney, the old Demon Seat, oldest daughter is what I meant to say.
She's
of,
a highly
Cheney.
Unpleasant person.
Oof.
Perfect for Wyoming.
She intends to challenge Senator Michael Enzi of Wyoming in the Republican primary. He's not retiring. She said, I'm running because I believe it's necessary for a new generation of leaders to step up to the plate. Made no mention of Mr. Enzi. She implicitly took a shot at his low-key consensus-oriented style, saying, we can no longer afford to simply get along to go along, declaring that Wyoming needs a strong voice in Washington. I will never compromise when our freedom is at stake. In a reference to Mr. Enzi's penchant for, you know, working with Democrats to find common ground, you know, to get
freedom.
Things done for America. And
yeah, because Wyoming finds itself under attack so often.
Right.
Wyoming? Why not?
Yes. Mr. Enzi said he was not notified by either Ms. Cheney or her father, who he has known for 30 years. He said, I thought we were friends.
No.
He says no.
Hunting friends.
Shoot him in the face.
Right. I think Dick will invite him shooting.
If I had a heart.
Hunting.
Right. If I was that guy, I would not go. I would not take that invitation.
Oh,
come
hey,
on,
no
I know my daughter's.
Hunting?
I know my daughter's running against you, but let's just go on a little hunting trip.
Just
stand right over there.
That was a creep. Just for your
Why
mouth
you
is it was a creepy Dick Cheney impression.
I have a werewolfy thing going on.
Sarah in Detroit.
Why are you drinking so much, Dick? I don't know. Sometimes I don't have the nerve.
What'd you say?
Oil can.
Oil can make me very rich. And ass.
Oil company.
If I only had
Sarah in Detroit, you're on. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller. A little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
However, I first started watching your show back in November around election time, and I have to give you great kudos. I recently have become interested in politics, and there are so many boring political shows on TV that your show is such a delight, and I learned so much from you.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am a delight, sir.
Yes, I'm taking notes right now.
All right, sir, go ahead.
One of my main questions is regarding the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. If I remember correctly, when Zimmerman noticed Trayvon on the streets, he called the police or dispatch,
right,
and they told him to stay in the car.
Right.
Even though they were not the police, isn't the dispatch an extension of the police, and that if he would have listened to them, you know, none of this would have happened?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Here's the thing, and this is, you want to talk stand your ground or self-defense. A man is following you in his vehicle. You have no idea why. You're not committing any crime. You're just walking back from the store.
Right.
This guy is following you through the apartment complex. He approaches you with his hand on his gun and starts asking, and you have nowhere to run. If you try to run, he can just shoot you.
Right.
He gets up close in your face. He maybe even points the gun in your face. You fight back to try and save your life. He manages to shoot you.
And I can hear some of our right-wing callers go, you don't know that. Nobody
I don't have to.
This.
I'm just saying.
But the problem
that's
is
what this
because
law
you
allows.
Only have Zimmerman's side.
Right.
Of course he's not going to say, I had my gun out.
Exactly.
Or I hadn't, you know.
And I'm not even talking about Zimmerman at this point. I'm talking about the stand your ground law as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Because it opens the door to creating murder.
Right.
You can just manufacture a murder now.
Right.
There was that guy who shot his wife's lover for coming in the door.
And said, oh, I thought it was a rapist.
Right. He knew he was coming in. He knew he was coming over. They had been arguing about it, but he used that as he's an intruder. He still owned the house. That was all he needed to do. He manufactured a murder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's go to Linda in Albuquerque. You're on with Hal. Hi, Linda.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I wanted to, I'm a white woman with a black teenage son, and I wanted to support the idea that young black men are targeted and even hunted. Something happened with my son and I, who were, he was 18 at the time, and this happened last summer. We were leaving Albuquerque, going to a little village outside of the city to a little party. We were stopped by a cop, and the cop came up to the car. I, of course, got my driver's license out, and I started talking to him. Why did he stop us? And he completely ignored me and would not address me at all. And he stuck his head halfway into my window and directly looked at my son and told him to give him his ID. And luckily my son had it, because half the time he doesn't. And then he told us that, you know, he had just stopped us because my son didn't have his seatbelt on, which was totally false. But at no time did he address me, did he look at my license, nothing.
Wow.
And
and
it was pretty, you know, shocking event. I would like to also suggest that this whole thing was even more sinister because Zimmerman knew. He saw Trayvon. He saw him really well. He knew he was a teenager, and that's why he went after him. I don't think that he would have the guts to go after a full-grown black man or maybe a full-grown, you know, any kind of race man. And I think that you know, it was a very, very sinister thing, more than it's been reported.
Well, I mean, and I think as most people said, because he had a gun.
Right.
That's why he makes you awful brave, you know, when, I mean.
Well, especially if you're, you know, if you're fed up. I mean, this, like, I've said all along that this is felt a lot more like, you know, an Aurora shooter moment than a self-defense case. That this is a guy who, you know, had this resentment building up, you know, and this desire to be reckoned with. That
you know
over,
right, you know the creepiest thing? I don't know if you heard this detail we were reading earlier. That, you know, that he straddled him and spread his arms out after he shot him? And for what reason? He knows he just shot him through the heart with a hollow point bullet. What was he trying to say? Oh, to make sure. I mean.
But then his body, his arms were tucked under his body when the cops arrived.
Right.
So that's not true. I think he stuffed him under his body to make it look like he was reaching for something in his waistband. That was going to be his story initially, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. HalSparks.com. We love you, Hal.
And HalSparks on Twitter. You can throw all that hate my way.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, do it. All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.